gospel against me, but God meant it unto good to bring to pass, as it is this day, to save much people alive. And then the little book of Jude, a verse that we all should know, which is the second characteristic I would point out to our hearts tonight. The man that saved his world, this man Joseph, was this type of man. Jude verse 22, and of some have compassion, making a difference. Let's pray together. Father, thank you so much for the truth. And I pray it would dwell richly in our hearts tonight. Thank you for my brethren that are here. And I pray, God, that you would dig down deep in our soul, Lord. And may you find some tender ground to do your will in our lives and in this world. And give us a glimpse of the task that lies before us and the heart that we need to accomplish it. And we'll thank you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You know, God is, I know you know this, but God is a God of compassion. Thank God for that. God is also an angry God, but he's also a God of compassion. These people that have a one-sided God don't understand the complexity of the one who made us and loved us and gave himself for us. Let's get a few verses, read a little bit of Bible, Psalm 86. Before I get into the fact that Joseph was a man of compassion, I want you to see how much the Bible shows us that God is a God of compassion. And without compassion in our hearts, we won't care for the world. We will not be involved in the Great Commission, let alone involved with reaching the lost that are around us where we find ourselves. The Bible says in Psalm 86:15, "But thou, O Lord, art a God full of compassion." It just doesn't say that that's a characteristic in his life or in his heart, but that God is a God that is full of compassion and gracious, long-suffering and plenteous in mercy and truth. Psalm 145, the Bible says in verse 8. And we could look at many verses, but just look at a few here. Psalm 145, verse 8, "The Lord is gracious and full of compassion, slow to anger, and of great mercy. The Lord is good to all, and his tender mercies are over all his works." Amen and amen. Lamentations chapter 3. We know God's the God of compassion. If it were not for that, God would have already taken care of the wickedness that's going on around us every day. Not just in this wicked world, but in our wicked lives. And here's the verse for that. Lamentations chapter 3, verse 22, "It is of the Lord's mercies that we are not consumed, because his compassions fail not." What keeps God's mercy on my soul is the fact that his compassion never fails toward me, and he's full of compassion. And because of that heart toward man, he is long-suffering and merciful and not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. Wasn't Jesus Christ full of compassion? Matthew chapter 9. Because the message tonight is going to be this. How much compassion do I have? How much compassion do you have, and do we have enough compassion to reach our world? How much do we really care? Because you can have a missions conference and not really care. You can do it because you're out of duty, because it's something we're supposed to do. But when you're full of compassion, then you're like Jesus and you're like Joseph and you're a vessel that can go a lot farther in reaching those that need desperately the help of God. Matthew chapter 9, you know the verse we already heard about, the prayer request tonight from our missionary to New Zealand. He's mentioned verse 38 to us, but look at verse 36, what predicated that desire for that prayer request. Matthew chapter 9, the Bible says in verse 36, but when he saw the multitudes, he was moved with compassion on them, because they fainted and were scattered abroad as sheep having no shepherd. His heart was moved. He was moved with compassion. So many verses in the Bible about arise and go and go and get up and action verbs for the Christian life. But what moves our life is compassion. Now that means it's more than sentiment, because you can have sentimentalism and it doesn't move you 5 inches to do anything about it. It doesn't move you to give. It doesn't move you to go. But compassion, real compassion, moves me. Matthew chapter 14. Matthew 14, verse 14, the Bible says, and Jesus went forth and saw a great multitude, and here it is again, and was moved with compassion toward them, and he healed their sick. Bible tells me in Mark chapter 1, and speaking of a leper, verse 40, there came a leper to him, beseeching him and kneeling down to him and saying unto him, if thou wilt, thou canst make me clean. And Jesus, moved with compassion, put forth his hand and touched him and said unto him, I will, be thou clean. Compassion is what moved the Savior. Compassion is what will move you and I from just sitting in our seat or living our Christian life, but actually getting involved and moving some of my finances and moving some of my life into the service and the investment of God around this world. It'll move me. And the reason that I am not moved is because I really don't have compassion. In Mark 5, he says, you know, there are all types of people Jesus had compassion on. In Mark 5, it's a devil-possessed man that's in the tombs and cutting himself and in chains. I mean, the wildest guy you ever met. Full of the devil. And the Bible said when Jesus got through with him that he looked to him in Mark chapter 5, and verse 18, and when he was come to the ship, he that had been possessed with the devil prayed him that he might be with him. Howbeit, Jesus suffered him not, but saith unto him, go home to thy friends and tell them how great things the Lord hath done for thee and hath had compassion on thee. Jesus, I just want to be with you. By the way, that's how you know that this movement of Christianity that's all about just enjoying God has nothing to do with biblical Christianity. If biblical Christianity was just enjoying God and enjoying fellowship and being around Jesus Christ, then Jesus did a disservice to this man when this man said, I just want to be with you. I want to go everywhere you go. And Jesus said, no, go home to your friends and tell them about my compassion. Because somebody else needs to know about the compassionate Savior more than you. And the reason that you got what you got was because I cared. And you got some people back home. You got some friends out there. And just staying around me and singing the sweet by and by means that you don't have any compassion and you don't understand what reached your heart in the first place. Jesus in Luke chapter 7. This widow woman whose son died. And Jesus is just watching them come through this funeral procession. And the Bible said in Luke 7:13, and when the Lord saw her, he had compassion on her. Jesus could not just be a spectator. He could not just watch the world go by. It moved his heart. Just another funeral. But yeah. Touching my heart. Weep not. And he just went over and just a touch. Why'd you do that, Jesus? Why'd you raise that boy? I just cared. When the Lord gives the story in Luke 10 about the Good Samaritan, and the thing he said is the Samaritan had compassion on him while everybody was walking by, while no one else cared. The one that reached and saved and helped and healed was the one who cared. You know, that's the same truth with the prodigal, is it not? The prodigal son that was far away and he came home, and the Bible said when his father saw him afar off, he had compassion on him. And he ran to him. What I'm trying to tell you is compassion moves us. And God, deliver me from sitting in a seat in a church and never being moved. That's not someone that will reach the world. I want to submit to you that Joseph was a man of compassion. Would you go now to Genesis chapter 43, I guess. I'll just skip down a little bit. You know, I did not read in Matthew, while you're turning Genesis, I did not read in Matthew 15, Jesus was moved with compassion on the multitude because they had been with him and they were hungry and they were tired and they had been listening to him preach and had been with him 3 days, and he had compassion on them, and he said, guys, I want you to feed them. And of course, they said like we did, well, let them go buy their own food. You know, send them away. Right? What do you want me to do, Jesus, all these people? What do you want me to do, Jesus, all this world out here? What do you want me to do? Well, number one, I want you to have compassion on them. And whatever you got, bring it. Whatever you can do, do it. And I want you to care a little bit more than just wanting to, okay, they heard the Bible, send them home. Jesus would move. The miracle of the feeding of the 5,000 would have never happened if Jesus hadn't had compassion on the fact that they were sitting there hungry. And he cared about that. He was interested in their need. When I look at the life of Joseph, I see something similar. In Genesis 43, the Bible says, here the brothers have come to him. And in Genesis chapter 43, the Bible says in verse 16, and when Joseph saw Benjamin with them, he said to the ruler of his house, bring these men home and slay and make ready. For these men shall dine with me at noon. And the man did as Joseph bade. And the man brought the men into Joseph's house. And the men were afraid because they were brought in. Well, why are we going in Joseph's house? He said, because I'm fixing to feed you. Feed us? I mean, you're a king. You're a prince. And you're going to feed us? We came here to beg for some bread to take it home so we and our children wouldn't die. And you want to sit down with a meal with us? Why would you do that? Why would you want to dine with us? Verse 24, watch this. And the man brought the men into Joseph's house and gave them water, and they washed their feet, and he gave their asses provender. He begins giving to them. He gives them a place at his table. He washes their feet. He feeds their animals. He gave them water. He gave them food. He's a giving man. You say, well, what? That's a big deal. Feeding somebody in your house. I know Christians that wouldn't feed nobody in their house, let alone a sinner. Jesus ate with them. Isn't that what he said? They got really angry. Well, Jesus, you're eating with sinners. Why are you eating with sinners? Well, I care about them. And I want them to know I care about them. This is a really big deal for Joseph to feed these guys. Because they wanted to kill him. They hated his guts. I tell you, if it had been some of us, we'd say, yeah, you want some bread? I'll give you some bread. Get the special bread out. Give them that one where they'll be up all night, you know, that drink. Right? Get a little payback here. But no, Joseph is a giving person. And you can't compassion. A compassionate man gives. Look further. It's not just food. Look at Genesis 44. And he commanded the steward of his house, saying, fill the men's sacks with food as much as they can carry, and put every man's money in his sack's mouth. You see how giving Joseph is? I mean, they try to buy the food, and he puts the money back, and he said, just fill up their bag. I mean, just fill it up with food, and just fill it up with money. Joseph, you mean these people that hate you? These people that were responsible for putting you in the pit? These people that ate while you had nothing and put you in an empty pit with no water? Fill their sacks up with money? Fill their sacks up with food? Why would you do that, Joseph? Because I care about them. I don't want them to go on this long trip hungry. Give them the money. I'd say if Joseph can fill his brother's sacks with money that tried to kill him, we ought to be able to fill some missionary sacks up with some money. It's trying to take the gospel of our Savior. Amen. I've met some Christians, wow, that's not, some of these missionaries, they're crooked. Yeah, I know. I know a bunch of them crooked as a dog's hind leg, but they've not tried to kill me. Right? A stingy person is a person that has no compassion. Amen. And Faith Promise Missions Conference, yeah, we're trying to encourage our hearts to care enough to give of our money. You say, oh, money, money, all they talk about is money. No, that's not all we talk about is money. But the truth is, where your treasure is, there is your heart. And we can't say we love God and love souls and be stingy and selfish, because compassion always gives. Compassion is a giving heart. People don't complain, you know, when they go to Walmart and all they talk about is money there when you go there. You know why people don't complain when they go through the sporting goods store, you know, and they load up and you start to walk out and they say, well, that'll be, you know, $185. It's like, you have to bring up money again? We just enjoy this stuff. But you know why people don't have any money, any problem with people talking about money, about other things? It's because it's something they care about. You never have a problem with money if it's somebody talking about it, if it's something about which you care for. Your kids come, you say, why are you always coming to ask me for money? And I've seen dads and moms and to their kids and their grandkids, they would hawk everything in their house so their stinking kid could have another toy with the other 4,000 that didn't get played with in the room. Why do they not have a problem with it? Well, go in debt Christmas time and man spend half the year trying to pay off the credit card, but it's no problem. Why is it no problem? Because you love those kids. If we have compassion, we don't have a problem with giving our money. Matter of fact, you know, I look back here at the Barkowskis and some others in the church. I tell you one thing. Your kids on the mission field, you don't have a problem giving your money to missions. And see, the truth is somebody's kid is on the mission field. This brother is somebody's son and somebody's grandchild and this his wife the same. Giving. Joseph was a man that gave, and I'm just submitting to you, his compassionate heart to give the people that wanted him dead and despised him and hated him should spur our hearts. And the same with Christ. Christ kept giving, not just feeding the multitude. He kept giving of himself, giving of his power, giving of his miracles, giving of his healing, giving of his word, giving of himself, giving of his body, giving of his blood. To who? To those that crucifying away with this man. Why did he do that? Just compassion. In 45:11, he tells, Genesis 45:11, Joseph says, "Hey, I want you to bring all your family." He said, "There I will nourish thee, for yet there are 5 years of famine, lest thou and thy household and all that thou hast come to poverty." Bring all the family. Bring your children, your children's children, verse 10. And bring everything. I want to take care of you. I'm going to take care of all your needs through this whole famine. I'd say you got to be a pretty giving person to be willing to do that. And now I digress and I shift, and I want to tell you that Joseph could never have been a man of compassion, and he never would have and could have been such a giving man, and he never would have been a man that reached his world unless with that compassion, first of all, he had had a forgiving spirit. You know what Joseph had to do? He had to overcome bitterness in his life. To be a giving person to thee, he had to get over any bitterness he had in his heart. He had to get over the hatred and the envy. He had to overcome the loss that he had felt. Can you imagine? Can you just gather your mind, your attention just a little bit? Can you imagine somebody taking away your mom and dad from you at 17 years old for the rest seemingly of your life? He never saw his mother again. He never saw his mother again. Because of these guys. He could have lived with that loss and let it stew and been better. He lost his family. He lost his home life. He lost his comfort. He even lost his freedom. How would you like to be in jail for about 10 years? I'm telling you, Joseph had to have the biggest compassionate heart, just like the Savior, and he could never have had it if he had not overcome the hurt. And he hurt. When Jacob was passing out the blessings upon his children, you know what he said about Joseph? He said this, that they have grieved him. The Psalms tell us in Psalm 105 that his feet were hurt with the fetters. Talking of Joseph. Joseph knew what it was to hurt. To lose his mother. To lose his father. To lose his country. To lose his comfort. To lose his freedom. To lose everything. and yet come out on the other side, filling up their sacks with money and food and sitting them out. How did he do that? He had to have a forgiving spirit. What in the world does that have to do with missions conference? I think I know one of the reasons why God's people do not have compassion for the world, because somebody has hurt them and they're bitter about it and they never got over it. And somebody's hurt them and they can't have a forgiving spirit and they can't forget about something in their life that caused them grief. So their heart, instead of being soft and tender and moldable and pliable and usable of the Holy Spirit, their heart has become hard because something in their life just hit them the wrong way and stuck in their craw and made their heart hard. You won't have a compassionate heart for the world if you can't get over who you're mad about and mad at. And it seems like today everybody's mad at somebody. I think missions should be like a missions revival, because we're not going to have the big hearts that we need for the world unless we just get thoroughly right with God. You can't turn it all over and make that faith promise and give yourself. You can't do that with a heart that's just eat up with bitterness about what somebody did to you or something you can't get over. And maybe that's why the Spirit of God has a hard time getting through to some Christians to give to missions and to go for missions and to be a witness, because they just never learned to forgive anybody. So why should I care about anybody going to hell halfway around the world? And Joseph, fill the sacks up. Ooh, help me, Lord. And see, Art, the truth is about it tonight, none of us have suffered those things. And we still don't have that big heart. The pastor tonight, Pastor Folk, said, "Man, I'd like to support this brother, but it's up to you." That's what he said. Is that what you said, Brother Folk? You said it right here. That's up to you. In other words, you got that big a heart? You care? He said, "Preacher, it's not about caring about something. It's about what we can do." Well, when you want something bad enough, you just do it. I know Americans. Amen. You want to eat that 2-foot-long sandwich, you'll do it if you really want to do it that bad. It doesn't matter how bad it's hurting. What an amazing man. Look at Genesis 45. No wonder God used this man to save a world. Well, that kind of a heart, are you kidding me? Genesis 45, the Bible says, here he brings the brethren before him. He's going to reveal himself to them. And verse 4 says, "And Joseph," Genesis 45, 4, "And Joseph said unto his brethren, come near to me, I pray you. And they came near. And he said, I'm Joseph, your brother, whom you sold into Egypt." Now watch what he says. Look at his heart. This is overwhelming to me. Because you know what I'd have said? Why did you do that? I didn't do anything to you. I mean, I'd say something to them. Or I'd say, "Don't you think it's about time for you to get right with God?" Right? Now who was the dreamer that didn't know what he was talking about? Huh? Right? "We'll sing Just As I Am and you can come." Right? Look at the heart of Joseph. Verse 5. "Now therefore be ye not grieved, nor angry with yourselves." I don't even want you to be mad at yourself. I don't want you to feel any pain or hurt over this. That ye sold me hither, for God did send me before you to preserve life. Verse 7, and God sent me before you to preserve you a posterity in the earth and to save your lives by a great deliverance. I'm trying to tell you that Joseph had a heart that was molded in such a way. He saw the bigger picture. He saw God's picture. And it didn't matter how much he had hurt. It didn't matter how much he had suffered. It didn't matter how much he had lost. It didn't matter how much he had given. He had an eternal God in view. And his eternal view of life said, don't even worry about it, guys. Because there's a bigger picture than what's going on in my life. God's trying to save people. And however he needs to do that through me, through you, praise his name. Whatever I have to give, wherever I have to go. Often we don't have that eternal view of life, do we? We just see what's happening right in front of my face and how it's affecting me right now. Go to chapter 40. I'm telling you that Joseph had a heart of compassion. A heart of compassion. Genesis chapter 40, the Bible says, I read these things and I say, good grief. I've got the Holy Spirit living in me, eternally sealed in a church and all this, and I don't have this guy's heart. Okay, he's in prison, right? Well, they bring in another two jailbirds, right? So here they come in, they throw him in jail, and the Bible says, of course, it's the chief of the butlers and the chief of the bakers, verse 2. Now watch this, verse 6. And Joseph came in unto them in the morning and looked upon them, and behold, they were sad. Well, yeah, they're in prison. How would you like to go from the prison house to the jailhouse, or the palace to the prison? They're sad. Like some other people I know that aren't in prison. Right? It is not spiritual to have a face as long as the hallway. If you're fasting, wash your face so nobody even knows it. Smile. It'll help you. Even if you got crooked teeth, smile. Amen. Why? They're sad. Now, for somebody in prison, okay. Somebody on their way to hell, okay. But somebody blood bought, saved by the grace of God, seated in heavenly places in Christ Jesus with a hope beyond this world, but forever and ever and ever and ever. And I'm sad about what? That I got an air-conditioned car and an air-conditioned house or heat in my home, food in my refrigerator, running water in my house. They're sad. Verse 7, and he asked Pharaoh's officers that were with him in the ward of his Lord's house, saying, wherefore look ye so sadly today? Joseph is not sitting in the prison house saying, oh, where's mama? Where's dad? Oh, it's hard. God, what have I done? God, I don't have any freedom. What's happening to my life? I have no future, God. No, Joseph's walking around. He said, so what are you guys so sad about? What's wrong with you? You know why else he said that? Because he's concerned about him. It's been real easy to sit in that prison and watch people go in and not give a flip. Right? You ever seen who they put in prison? Well, I think I'll just stay over in my bunk and pray. No, Joseph's walking around saying, "What's wrong with you guys? Hey, what's wrong?" He's concerned about two people that he doesn't know. Guys, what are you sad about? What's wrong? What are you hurting about? See, he had enough hurt in his life. He's interested in helping somebody else with their hurt. Maybe we just got it too good and so we just don't care, you know. Million people in that city without Christ? Okay, I got it pretty good. I mean, unless you sat in a city of a million, you couldn't have a preacher, a church, or a Bible, or a witness. Joseph knew what's like. What's wrong, guys? What's wrong? Do you know a man that will reach his world for Jesus will be a man, an individual, that's concerned enough about people and their troubles and their heart and their sadness? And it's really, and I need, I wish the Lord would help me because it's so easy out of prison to walk through life and just not care. Just live my life and not care. You would be shocked at how many people around you are at the end of their rope, let alone around the world. Missions conference is about, God, would you touch my heart so I'll actually care? Never forget in Romania, if I'm not watching carefully, the stores start coming. We got these big potatoes out there, so you know. I was preaching in our, we hadn't had our little church open for, I guess, 6 months. Right there, a little storefront. And a young guy walked in, maybe 8 months, a young guy, short Romanian guy, walked in and sat quietly over on the, on my right side. I can still see Daniel sitting right there, about the second row. And he's just like this, his head down. You could tell he was troubled. And I preached the Word of God. And after the service, he came and he got on his knees and he called out to Jesus to save him. And I said, well, praise the Lord. You know, somebody else got saved. And then I listened to his story. I thought, oh, Lord, if I'd have known that, I probably would have preached with a little bit more interest and concern. I mean, he still got saved. He'd already planned it out. His wife said she was leaving him, and he was at the end of his rope with his job, and he had this young daughter that was going crazy, and he didn't know Christ as a Savior. Nobody cared about him, and he said, I was planning my suicide. But I walked in this church to hear the Word of God. And he got saved. And that young man, he would stand on that street and he'd preach till his throat bled. Telling, when I baptized him, Brother Folk, we went up in the mountains in the river there and I baptized him. Before I baptized him, and of course, this was out in public and there were Romanians out there. I said, Daniel, would you like to say something before I baptize you? And that guy started preaching for 15 minutes to the crowd of people out there. Let me tell you what Jesus did for my life and what he did in my heart and the new life he gave me. Boy, I'm sure somebody cared enough to help send me to Romania. Had a 13-year-old girl, well, she was turning 14, from the gypsy village that rode the train, that walked into the church, and she started coming to church in about the third service. She said she wanted to get saved. We dealt with her. She trusted Christ as her Savior. And then she told me her story. Her dad in the gypsy village had already committed her to give her as a prostitute, basically, to a piece of scum, low life. It was a payment. It was a deal between this ungodly man and this other man. And he put his daughter in that mix. And I tell you, with the indignation in my heart and this girl streaming tears down her eyes, and I went to see her father and tried to talk about it. Of course, all they do is lie. And it wasn't long where she was gone. And I found her out in the field one day. She was working. I talked to her. Boy, my heart, I almost wanted to just take her out of that situation, you know, like an American, and fix this thing. But I couldn't fix this thing. But with tears rolling down her eyes, she said, "Well, I know I got saved that day. I know I have Jesus." My little daughter gave a tract on the streets of Thessaloniki, and a man took it and read it, planning suicide. And Telemachos got saved, and Charlie's still trying to work with Telemachos. Broken life. Kid with a disease. Wife full of the devil. Got saved. What am I trying to say? I'm trying to say there's a lot of people out there that have real sadness. And the Great Commission is, do I care? Do I care? Do I care enough to give? Do I care enough to go? Do I care at all? Or am I like those in the Amos 6? Woe to them that be at ease in Zion, sit upon their couches, lay upon their beds. Listen. And are not grieved for the afflictions of Joseph. It wasn't Joseph's brothers that reached the world because they didn't care. And Jonah's problem was that he didn't care. And the Pharisees' problem was they didn't care. And our problem is that we don't care, or if we do, we don't care enough to be moved. You're in Genesis. Go to 42. I've got to get this last point in. I've got to do it. Genesis 42:24. I'm just going to read these. Seven times the number of perfection. You're going to read something about Joseph and his heart. Genesis 42:24. And he turned himself about from them and wept, and returned to them again and communed with them, and took from them Simeon and bound him before their eyes. Chapter 43, verse 30. And Joseph made haste, for his bowels did yearn upon his brother, and he sought where to weep. And he entered into his chamber and wept there, and he washed his face and went out and refrained himself and said, "Set on bread." Chapter 45, verse 2. And wept aloud. And the Egyptians and the house of Pharaoh heard. Verse 14, Genesis 45:14. And he fell upon his brother Benjamin's neck and wept, and Benjamin wept upon his neck. Moreover, he kissed all his brethren and wept upon them. He did not just weep upon his brother Benjamin. He did not just weep in a general sense. He wept, he cried on every one of those brothers that had thrown him into the pit. His tears were shed upon every one of them, dripping out of his eyes and onto their person. Chapter 46, verse 29. And Joseph made ready his chariot and went up to meet Israel, his father, to Goshen, and presented himself unto him. And he fell on his neck, look at it now, and wept on his neck a good while. Chapter 50, verse 1. And Joseph fell upon his father's face and wept upon him and kissed him. In verse 17 of chapter 50. So shall ye say unto Joseph, forgive, I pray thee now, the trespass of thy brethren and their sin, for they did unto thee evil. And now we pray thee, forgive the trespass of the servants of the God of thy father. And Joseph wept when they spake unto him. Over and over and over again, the Bible is revealing to us the character and the heart of Joseph. And tears are constantly running out of his eyes. A man of compassion weeps. I don't even have time to go through the verses. Jesus wept. Jesus looked over the city and he wept. The Bible said when he offered up prayers and supplications with strong crying and tears. Can we fool ourselves into thinking we really care that much when the tears never come out of our eyes? You say, preacher, I'm not a very emotional person. Well, I probably don't believe that. Because God made you an emotional person. I'm sure everybody here was emotional the day they got married. I'm not a very emotional person. I don't cry. We see, that's the thing. If the Spirit of God is in you, I have to be honest. I'm not advocating a crybaby Christianity. God knows that. But I'm telling you what, we are so scared of all this fake stuff and all this charismatic stuff and all this emotional stuff. We've got such hard hearts and we've talked ourselves into thinking we care and we've not shed a tear over anybody or any city or any soul. And when was the last time I got in an altar and tears were running down my face, or I got in a prayer closet and tears were running down my face because I cared? No, they're just all dry and I'm respectable. Well, Jesus wasn't that way. And Joseph wasn't that way. And I'm not saying you can't work that up. But you know what you can do? You can get on your face before God and you can say, God, I'm sorry that I don't care enough. And God, I'm sorry that my heart is too hard. And I wish, God, you would tender my heart and squeeze my heart and run something out my eyes so I'll care a little more than I do now. Break my heart, oh God. Break my heart, oh God. Because he's touched with the feeling of my infirmity. Why can't I be touched with the feeling of others' infirmity? Break my heart, oh God. Paul wrote to the Ephesians great doctrinal truth. And then he wrote in chapter 4, don't you walk as other Gentiles walk in the vanity of their mind. Listen. And this is what he said. This is what kind of people the Gentiles are. They are past feeling. They can't feel anymore. They don't care. And when they sing the songs, there's no feeling. And when they hear about people halfway around the world without a church or a preacher, they don't care. Because they're just numb to it. your kids lived there, you'd care about it. And the truth is that Joseph cared more about those people in prison and those people outside and those people that were hurting. He cared more about their needs than his own needs. And if we really cared that deeply about it, we would be, if you need a Bible, you know what you're going to, you're going to get you a Bible. If your kids need a Bible, you're going to get them a Bible, right? You're going to go to pastor. You're going to go to the bookstore. You're going to get, my kids are going to have a Bible. Well, you think your kids are better than the kids in New Zealand? Are they more valuable? Are they more precious? Are they more important? I'm going to find me a church. If I have to move halfway across the country, all the way up in New York State, I'm going to have me a good church for my family. Hallelujah. But do you care about somebody else more than you care about your own family finding a good church? Or do we just care here? Where are my tears? That's the man that will save his world. Let's bow our heads in prayer. Father, thank you for the Word of God and for the Spirit of God that speaks to our hearts. Oh God, forgive us of being cold. Forgive us of being dead. Forgive our hearts of being so rock solid. Break our hearts, oh Lord. Please, Lord. Help us to be concerned for those that are so sad without our Savior. May we be willing to give of our money, our time, ourselves, our prayers. Oh God, Jesus, we are so far from being like you. Oh, to be like thee, blessed Redeemer. This is my constant longing and prayer. Gladly I'll forfeit all of earth's treasures, Jesus, thy perfect likeness to wear. Oh, to be like thee, full of compassion, loving, forgiving, tender and kind, cheering the fainting, helping that wandering sinner to find. Oh, to be like thee. Oh, to be like thee. Pure as thou art, come in thy sweetness, come in thy fullness, stamp thine own image deep on my heart. Oh, to be like thee, blessed Redeemer, this is my constant longing and prayer. Gladly I'll forfeit all of earth's treasures, Jesus, thy perfect likeness to wear. Oh, to be like thee. Oh, to be like thee, blessed Redeemer, pure as thou art. Come in thy sweetness. Come in thy fullness, stamp thine own image deep on my heart.